ஓம்ஹை தேஜஸ்வினாவதீதமஸ்து மா வித்விஷாவஹை. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி.
Vijayan Brothers 23 to 27.
Can't read it so easily, can't read so fast.
Vijayan 23 to 27, chapter 13.
Little soon.
உபதிரஷ்டானுமந்தாச்ச வர்த்தா போக்தா மகேஸ்வரஹ பரமாத்மேதி சாப்யுக்தஹ தேஹேஸ்மின் புருஷப் பரஹ உபதிரஷ்டானுமந்தாச்ச வர்த்தா போக்தா மகேஸ்வரஹ பரமாத்மேதி சாப்யுக்தஹ தேஹேஸ்மின் புருஷப் பரஹ ய ஏவம் வேதி புருஷம் ப்ரக்ருதிம் ச குணைஸ்ஸஹ சர்வதா வர்த்தமானோபி ந ச பூயோ விஜாயதே ய ஏவம் வேதி புருஷம் ப்ரக்ருதிம் ச குணைஸ்ஸஹ சர்வதா வர்த்தமானோபி ந ச பூயோ விஜாயதே. ஞானேனாத்மனி பஷ்யந்தி ஞானேனாத்மனி பஷ்யந்தி கேசிதாத்மானம் ஆத்மனா கேசிதாத்மானம் ஆத்மனா அன்யே சாங்கேன யோகேன அன்யே சாங்கேன யோகேன கர்மயோகேன சாபரே கர்மயோகேன சாபரே ஞானேனாத்மனி பஷ்யந்தி கேசிதாத்மானம் ஆத்மனா அன்யே சாங்கேன யோகேன கர்மயோகேன சாபரே அன்யே த்வேவ மதானந்தஹ அன்யே த்வேவ மதானந்தஹ ஶ்ருத்வாந்தேவ்ய உபாஸதே
ஶ்ருத்வாந்தேவ்ய உபாஸதே
தேபி சாதி தரந்தேவ தேபி சாதி தரந்தேவ மிருத்யும் ஸ்ருதி பராயணாஹ
மிருத்யும் ஸ்ருதி பராயணாஹ
அன்யே த்வேவ மதானந்தஹ ஶ்ருத்வாந்தேவ்ய உபாஸதே தேபி சாதி தரந்தேவ மிருத்யும் ஸ்ருதி பராயணாஹ யாவத் சஞ்சாயதே கிஞ்சித்
யாவத் சஞ்சாயதே கிஞ்சித்
தத்வம் ஸ்தாவர ஜங்கமம்
தத்வம் ஸ்தாவர ஜங்கமம்
க்ஷேத்ர க்ஷேத்ரஜ்ஞ சயோகா
க்ஷேத்ர க்ஷேத்ரஜ்ஞ சயோகா
Chapter inquired Lord Krishna, please explain to me what is prakriti, what is purusha, what is kshetra, what is kshetrajna, what is jnanam and jnanam. Prakriti, the matter component, purusha, the spirit that enlivens the matter. What is purusha, what is prakriti? That which resides in the Puri. Puri means city. Kshetra also means a field. Kshetrajna is one who plays in the field. One who plays in the field, residing in the field as it were, is the Purusha. So Kshetrajna and Purusha are one and the same. That Purusha, Kshetrajna, is that which is to be known. We know everything else, but we do not know about our original self, which is the Purusha, which is the witness, which is the Sakshi, just plays about. But without knowing that, we are imagining ourselves to be this individual, limited individual, Jiva. As a result, while playing in the Kshetra, we get involved out of ignorance and go through this suffering. That is the idea. So, Kshetra, Kshetrajna, and Jnaya, that which is to be known, is the Kshetrajna. So, Kshetra and Prakriti is same. Kshetra, Prakriti is same. Kshetrajna, Purusha, and Jnaya is same. That which is to be known is Kshetrajna. Knowledge you can say is same as Kshetrajna. But in the context here, Sri Krishna wants to tell us that knowledge is this knowledge yoga, jnana yoga, through which you come to know of the Kshetrajna. So by going through this jnana yoga, you develop certain qualities. And he mentioned those qualities as jnana. Those qualities will help you to realize the Purusha and understand that you are the Kshetrajna. And thereafter, you will continue living in the world. But the world doesn't upset you anymore. So if you want to replace the word world with setup, then you understand this setup is upsetting you now. But when you know this, that you are the Kshetrajna, thereafter the setup does not upset you. Simple meaning. You continue living, it's not that you run away. But doesn't upset you. Now, so therefore, though he is asking six questions, what is Purusha, what is Prakriti, what is Kshetrajna, what is Kshetra, what is knowledge, what is Jnayam, it is actually only three. Prakriti and Kshetra are same. Kshetrajna, Purusha, Jnaya is same. And knowledge also can be said as Kshetrajna. Real knowledge is of the Atma. But in the context, we talk about the 20 qualities as knowledge. So here, when Arjuna asked this question, Sri Krishna started answering first Kshetra and Kshetrajna. He said, Kshetrajna Chapima will be Sarva Kshetrajna. He gave examples of many fields, like your body, your mind, your intellect, everything is Kshetra, field. In this, the one who is playing is a Kshetrajna. Right? So, the player in the field, the knower of the field is the Kshetrajna. He explained that. Then he explained what is knowledge. Knowledge is this 20 qualities starting from Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Kshanti, Arjavam, etc. 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 20 qualities he gave. Starting from Amana, humility. Amana, no pride. No individual pride. So, in other words, these qualities, to the extent it reflects in you, to that extent you have got the knowledge of the Atma. If you have understood the Bhagavad Gita, you have gone through the courses, you have become a teacher to teach, that doesn't mean you are a knowledgeable person. Do you have these qualities reflecting to you? And these 20 qualities is not an exhaustive quality. In the 12 chapters, these are 35 qualities. So these are not exhaustive. Basically, if you have one quality, other qualities to that extent will be there in you. So, the more you remove the dirt, the Atma from within, the dirt of desire, Sarvatma, are removed, the Atma from within shines forth through you. When the Atma shines forth, you will naturally be humble. You will be unpretentious. Whom are you going to pretend to? Huh? There is nobody else other than you. Everything is Atma only. So there is no need for you to lead a double life. You know? So your thought, word and deed, everything will be straight. And you will be absolutely forgiving. Why you will be forgiving? Because you understand that I am clear, that I am Kshetrajna playing in the field. With this awareness, I don't commit any sin. If in the past I committed sin, it is because of my ignorance. Similarly, in the present now I see few people committing mistakes, sin, because of their ignorance. So I forgive them. strictly speaking, they are not sinners. It is the gunas to which they identify, they are committing sin. Therefore, with this understanding, I forgive their action. I forgive them, but their actions require correction. That I may deal. Remember, corrective measures have to be taken, but I have no revengeful attitude. There is no vengeance with it. In fact, there is only love, kindness, compassion and forgiveness, etc. All these qualities come. Then that Kshetrajna is the one which is to be known. Because till you do not understand that you are Kshetrajna, and you start and you continue imagining yourself to be this limited self, you will suffer in this world. Because limited self will involve itself in the contact. Out of attachment, you suffer. Therefore, what is to be known is Kshetrajna. The human being has a potential to know. The human being is a broad bandwidth. Human being is not trained properly, not made to think clearly, would naturally go in the direction of the mind. Naturally go in the direction of the mind and then go downwards. So when the human being is trained in the knowledge by the Guru and if he puts in the tapasya and studies, the human being can make his awareness rise to the level of Godhead within. So therefore the purpose of life is to get back to Atma, to make yourself as higher and higher as possible. You don't need any training to be stressed. You will naturally incline to be stressed. You don't need any training to destroy yourself, to indulge. You never see any lectures or seminars on how to indulge. But how to control, you know, to need this training, seminar. So therefore, a human being being a broad bandwidth can rise to the highest, and the highest being Kshetrajna. Therefore he says that is what is to be known. Having dealt with all this, then he goes on to talk about Prakriti and Purusha. So strictly speaking, he starts talking about Prakriti and Purusha from verse number 20, which we saw last week. He says, know that Prakriti matter and Purusha spirit are both beginningless, both anadi. Prakriti is, Purusha we know is anadi. It is that which is all pervading, it has no beginning or end, it is changeless. That which has no beginning or end is anadi, it is infinite. We can't say here exactly. But when you come to the Prakriti, the world, that is also made up of time, space, causation. Time is eternal, space is all pervading and causation is infinite. So Prakriti is also beginningless. In fact, Prakriti Upadhi is innate in Purusha. So Purusha being the base which is beginningless, Prakriti is also beginningless. That is why we say, when did this samsara exactly start, we cannot say. We can say that it started for you this morning when you woke up. But we can tell you it can be destroyed right now if you stop identifying with Prakriti. So that is what he is trying to say here. So both Prakriti and Purusha are meaningless, and know also that modifications and gunas, qualities are born of Prakriti. See, in Purusha, out of, see, when there is Mr. Banerjee, Mr. Banerjee could be not understood as Mr. Banerjee and could be misunderstood as Chatterjee. Okay. Not understanding Mr. Banerjee could give rise to misunderstanding him to be Chatterjee. Right? Similarly, what is there is only Brahman Purusha. Right? The non-apprehension of Brahman gives rise to the misapprehension of this world. The world is nothing but the reflection of the Purusha, shadow of the Purusha in a way. Swami Ramakrishna beautifully explains this concept. He says, when there is a rope lying on the ground, you don't understand the rope as a rope. You misunderstand the rope to be snake. Now the boy is seeing snake where there is a rope. You, the father, is seeing where there is rope. She has a rope, no snake. So you ask the son, what are you seeing, man? He says, no, it's snake, I'm scared. Okay, explain the snake. Define the snake. Describe the snake. What is it? Then he describes it. He says, it is 5 feet long, 3 inches thick, black in color, and it is spiraled in shape. You know, there is a black colored rope, which is coiled, which is 3 inches thick. So you understand very clearly that he is actually describing the rope, but seeing the snake. Why? The qualities of the rope has mirrored itself as the snake. Are you with me? But once he started seeing it as snake, now the fear comes. Out of the fear, the body temperature increases, he falls into stress, he goes through strain, he is not able to sleep, lack of sleep creates further complication, he is not able to eat food, not digest, etc. etc. Lekin ye sara kaisa hua? Imagination. Imagination ke baad jo hua, wo sach mein ho raha hai. Lekin ye sara kaisa hua? Imagination ki wajah se. With me. This is what they are trying to tell you. So like that, what is there is that pure consciousness which is beginningless. It mirrors itself. Like for example, there is a vast sheet of sand. In the sunlight, it appears as if water. Mirage. Isn't it? Now, exactly like that, the Purusha from that Prakriti comes. What is sustaining the Prakriti? Is the Purusha. Now when Purusha and Prakriti come together, then the universe comes. In this universe, we are there, each one of us. We are also a combination of Prakriti and Purusha. So just because Purusha and Prakriti came together, in itself doesn't mean samsara will be created. But when the Purusha out of ignorance has identified with Prakriti and an individuality is created, then the samsara has started. Do you mean? There is, I gave you the example last week of the rainbow. There is water vapor in the atmosphere. And the sunlight is passing through the water vapor. In the combination, a rainbow is appearing. Simply speaking, there is no rainbow. Believe me. Similarly, there is Purusha. From Purusha, Prakriti evolves. And what is sustaining the Prakriti? Purusha. When Purusha is eliminating Prakriti, Prakriti is inherent with three gunas. And three gunas goes through modifications, change. And then all these various things have come. Now, human beings being the conscious, most conscious, they, out of ignorance, imagine that individuality. Now, when the Purusha out of ignorance identifies with Prakriti, then the samsara starts. Right? So now, therefore he says, the reason for, in 21 he says, the reason for the cause and effect, papa, punya, is Prakriti. Purusha is not the doer. Purusha simply enlivens, simply makes the equipment function. But out of ignorance, you identify with Prakriti, and Prakriti goes through modification, and having identified with Prakriti modification, you bring about an ego, then with the doership, when you do something, punya and papa comes. So in the creation of cause and effect, who is the cause? Prakriti. But when out of punya and pap you get this body, if due to the punya and pap you get this physical body. Now that we got this body, we go through pleasure and pain. The pleasure and pain is interpreted by the intellect. Intellect is the one which tells you it is pleasure, it is pain. But who is behind the intellect to be able to function and interpret it as pleasure and pain? Purusha. Therefore, Purusha is actually the vicarious enjoyer. Okay? So in that sense, Purusha is the ultimate cause of your experiences. Purusha is not making you to experience. That sense is there, it is Purusha inside, which is sitting and experiencing as it were. All this tamasha. And then he says, 22, Purusha seated in Prakriti indeed experiences the Gunas, born of Prakriti. Attachment to these Gunas causes birth in good and evil. So the problem is what?
Identification.
From childhood you are told, Pita, Rita, 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 you think you are this body, Pita. And everything that is associated with the body, parents, husband, wife, children, brothers, sisters, friends, everything, attachment, guna. Then I go through. So I gave you that example in the class. When you step on a thorn, thorn is gone into the flesh. But in our Indian, Hindi language we say, thorn has entered my flesh. Thorn did not come walking and entered. Right? You stepped on it. So in English they say, I ran our thorn. I stepped on a thorn. That's the correct thing. So out of ignorance, I have identified with this body and I have limited myself to this. It's a simple thing like, when Purusha expresses in this Prakriti, it expresses as man or woman. Now, man or woman is only your sex, that's not you. Are you with me? But from childhood, you are a boy, you are a girl, are you with me? You start identifying, then you say, I am a girl. You don't say there are, I am Purusha, which is expressing as a girl. Are you with me? I am Purusha which is expressing as a boy. I don't say that. I am a girl. I am a boy. Similarly, out of attachment you say, I am happy. I am unhappy. I am not happy or unhappy. My body is going through all these variations. So out of ignorance, Purusha attaches to Prakriti and then it thereafter gets the doership. Out of doership, now you do desired and good action. Then you gather punya. Out of doership you do desired and selfish action. You gather paap. This punya and paap together that you collect gives you the physical body as a result of it. And not only physical body, even the external environment. If you have done punya, you get the body and the environment accordingly. If you get to do paap, you get the body and the environment accordingly. So before, Prakriti is matter, Purusha is the spirit. Purusha is eliminating the Prakriti. There and from that combination of Purusha and Prakriti, the world comes. In the world, the individual who is a combination of Purusha and Prakriti has a capacity to be a witness to the Prakriti or get attached to the Prakriti. But we are now attached. Therefore this samsara. Now how can we break this samsara? By becoming detached. By understanding this, we will now start being a detached individual, hopefully, and then slowly, slowly exhaust the existing vasanas and don't create further new vasanas. Thus we get back to the Paramatma within. Right. So Purusha, when it is attached, it has now become the individual, Manjari. All these various things. So Purusha is going through various modes. All that we explained in the next verse. It's a very important off-quoted verse. We'll chant that verse together. 23, chapter 13.
Upadrashtanumantacha
Bhakta Bhokta Maheshwarah
Bhakta Bhokta Maheshwarah
Paramatmeti Chapyuktah
Paramatmeti
Chapyuktah Dehesmin Purushatparah
Dehesmin Purushatparah
Upadrashtanumantacha Bhakta Bhokta Maheshwarah Paramatmeti Chapyuktah Dehesmin Purushatparah. Upadrashta. Drashta means seer. Upa means who is close. Upa means close, near. Upadrashta means the seer who is the closest. Upadrashta means seer, witness, sakshi. The closest seer. That's what it means. Upadrashta. Nearest seer. Upadrashta cha. Upadrashta anumata. Anumata means permitted. Upadrashta means
anumata.
Anumata means permitted. Witness. Witness is upadrashta. Anumata means who permits. One who allows. One who permits. Then bharta. Bharta means one who sustains. Sustainer. Supporter. And then Bhokta. Bhokta means enjoy. Maheshwara means the Lord, the Supreme Lord, the Great Lord. Maha Ishwara, the limitless Lord. Maha cha asau Ishwara, Maheshwara. That is the root. Mahan cha asau Ishwara means that which is Mahan, greatest glory. That Ishwara is Maheshwara. And then he says Parameshwara, Paramatma, Paramatmeti means that is iti Paramatma. Paramatma means Parama means Supreme. Atma means your Self. Supreme Self. So the Supreme Self, Purusha Spirit, in this body. Where is it? Within you. In this body. Dehe smith Purusha Paraha. This Purusha Spirit in this body is thus said to be Upadrashta, witness, Anumanta, permitter, Vartha, supporter, sustainer, Bhokta, enjoyer, Maheshwara, and also the Supreme Great Lord, and also the Supreme Self. So what is he saying here? Drashta, with what do you see?
Eyes.
Your senses see the object. But if your mind was somewhere else, even though the glass is in front of your eyes, you see it. So who is actually seeing it through the senses? The mind. So the external seer is the eyes. The internal seer is your mind. Yeah. Now the mind also, if it was not enlivened by the consciousness, will it see? So who is actually behind the eye, mind to see? Consciousness. So that consciousness is the closest seer. That is why in the Keno Upanishad, when Sishya asks, Keneshitam padati preshitam manaha, Kena prana pratama praiti yuktaha, Keneshitam vachanimam padati, Chakshushrotram kabudevo yunati. Sishya is asking, Kena means by whom? By what? Keneshitam padati preshitam manaha. My mind is running, propelled by whom? Keneshitam padati preshitam manaha. Kena prana. How is prana functioning? Kena prana pratama praiti yukta. How all this is united? Keneshitam vacham imam padati. How do I speak? What makes me speak? Chalachataya. Then the Guru, you know, when he answers what he says, Shrotrasya shrotram manaso manoyat vachosa vacha gutsavu pranasya prana. Chakshushashashuratipuchya dhira vrityasma loka dhuta bhavanti. Means what? Shrotrasya shrotram. Chakshushashashu. Eye of the eye. Ear of the ear. Meaning what? The closest ear, the closest seer, the closest smeller, the closest toucher, everything closest is Atma. Within you. But unfortunately, out of ignorance, we have assumed this individual, this body, to be the Swarupa.
While my Swarupa is Atma, I have given the Swarupa to this
body. Since I am thinking myself to this body, then I say, with reference to this body, I am a man. I am a woman. And then this body is born in a particular family, then you say Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Then my further limitation continues. So that is why we say from a different angle, in Vedanta you are asked to question everything. In fact, the most difficult and usually people do not question that is, which is the obvious. Like for example, it is obvious, I am a woman. It is obvious, I am a man. I never question that. What do you think? When you question that, then you understand that it is not you, the manifestation. So, he says, Upadrashta, first. Adi Shankara, when he explains this, he says, in the performance of ritual, yajna, there is yajamana. Yajamana means who? You. You are the one who is performing the yajna for some benefit to do some yajna. Right? But you do not know how to perform the yajna. So what do? Call this, you call lot of ritvis. Ritvis. Ritvis are the priests. So many priests come. And there is one more person who is called as Upadrashta. What he does is, he knows everything about ritual. But he doesn't do anything. He simply sits in one corner. He is watching if all the priests and yajamana, everybody is functioning correctly. So like that, there is a lot of activities going on, yajna is going on. Eyes are seeing, ears are hearing, nose is smelling, tongue is tasting, skin is touching, mind is going through various feelings, thoughts are interpreting, intellect is interpreting various thoughts, so many actions are going on, and in the body digestion is going on, you know, nutrition is going on, circulation is going on, thought absorption is going on, various functions are happening inside, outside, the body, mind, intellect, all this is going on, but Atma is remaining in you as what? Sakshi. Antar, it is just remaining as a Sakshi to all this. Padrishta. Now, Atma is only a enlivening principle, not the doer. But, out of ignorance, when the Prakriti and Purusha is united out of ignorance, the individual you, you can do good actions or bad actions. So many activities. To all these voluntary, involuntary activities and to the good and bad actions, it remains a witness. The remaining a witness, it will not come and stop you if you do a bad action. It will not say, okay, go ahead and do it. It simply allows all the equipments to do whatever it wants to do, the individual to do good or bad actions, permit as it will. So it becomes a permitter from that angle, the moment you started doing good or bad actions. Are you seeing? Then, further the equipments are actually functioning. Who is eliminating the equipments to function and by supporting them, by sustaining them? Purusha, if the consciousness was not the underlying fact, the equipments itself will not function. Therefore, it is also playing the role of a sustainer, Bharta. Right? Now, the Bharta further is reaping the results. Who is actually enjoying the results? The doer does the action, good or bad, doership ahamkara. With that ahamkara, when you do something, you reap papan punya. So therefore, who is actually the enjoyer? The ego. But who is behind the ego? Purush. Therefore, Purush is the enjoyer. That is one meaning. Another meaning is, Samharana Katta. Samharana Katta is the enjoyer. Meaning, in what does everything dissolve? Purusha. Now, when you are in deep sleep, everything dissolves except I. Are you with me? Similarly, when there is pralaya, everything dissolves into Prakriti Upadhi. Prakriti Upadhi remains in Purusha. Purusha continues. In each chapter we studied, no? There is Brahmaji, Brahmaji is day, Brahmaji is night, millions of years. You studied all that? I promise you. You want? You can go back and read that and reflect on it. So, that I into which everything dissolves, that in which everything dissolves is the ultimate enjoyer. So he is saying Purusha is the
Bhokta.
Bhokta is the sustainer, is the destroyer in which everything dissolves. Then he says Upadrashta, Anumanta, Bharata, Bhokta, Maheshwara. Mahacha Asau Ishwara. Maheshwara, Ishwara. Now everything has come from this Ishwara. So Ishwara is the creator. So in short, he's trying to say, with reference to the Prakriti, he is creator, destroyer, and sustainer. And then he is Maheshwara, is a lord beyond all this. And where is it? Seated within you as Paramatma, the Supreme Self within you. So in other words, like when with reference to your daughter, you are called as mother. With reference to your mother, you are called as daughter. With reference to your students, you are called as a teacher. With reference to your club, you are called as a chairman. You understand? So there are various names assigned to you, but you are only that one Atma, which is actually Upadrashta, sitting inside, just watching. Unnecessarily, you got involved and you created samsara. Now stop getting involved, you will destroy the samsara. That's all he's saying. Okay. Now the same thing Swamiji puts it very nicely. There, for us to practically understand and apply also. He said, Upadrashta is a witness to all your vicious actions, as it were. He doesn't tell you, don't do this or do this. He remains a witness to your vicious actions. But when you start doing something good, then it permits you, okay, so now you want to do something good, it supports you then further. By, when you start dissolving your ego and function, then it starts playing the role of a permitter. Because if you do something negative, in a way it's not permitting, in the sense it's tricking you, no? There's conscience tricking. What you do is not really doing with full fledged thing. So it's permitting only the good act, when the conscience is not tricking. Then, further when you dissolve your ego and do much better action. Right? It even sustains you by providing you the means, bringing the help from different areas. So when you function for a good cause, the support comes. That's it. The universe conspires for that good action to take further. And then when you dissolve the ego completely, you really enjoy. What makes you not enjoy is your ego. So when you dissolve your ego completely, you become the enjoyer. When you become the enjoyer, you become the lord of everything that you survey. Everything brings in activity in your presence. And further, when the ego completely dissolves, you become the Atma, Paramatma. So this is a very interesting way of clearing. But all that the Lord wants to tell us is, it is that one eye, which is a witness, which out of ignorance, you start doing various activity. Even then, it remains a permitter. It is not interfering and saying, do this, don't do this. Permits you. You want to do, it's like, during summer, the bus station, especially nowadays they have this bus station which is having steel poles. Looks nice, but in summer, when you go and lean on the steel poles, what
happens?
You will burn your back. Now you, out of your stupidity, you went and leaned on that pillar and then you burnt your back. And then you go home and your wife and everybody is saying, astrologer told you, star is bad. Out of our ignorance, we function with attachment. Then blame God and stars and this and that. So he said, Upadrashta, permit as it were when you do any activity. Further, it supports the senses, mind and intellect, because of which they are functioning. And then seated inside, simply enjoying everything. And it is the cause of creation. And it is the premise of the individual Atma. This is Purusha. In other words, he wants to say that I goes to place various roles. Understanding this, what will happen to you, he is saying next. If you understand all this, in this way, what you will do? If you do not understand, what happens?
Ya evam veti purusham,
ya evam veti purusham,
prakritim cha gunai saha, prakritim cha gunai saha, sarvata vartamanopi,
sarvata vartamanopi,
nata bhuyo vijayate, nata bhuyo vijayate, ya evam veti purusham, prakritim cha gunai saha, sarvata vartamanopi, nata bhuyo vijayate.
He who knows Purusha, so Purusha, Supreme Spirit and Prakriti matter together with Guna qualities, though living in whatever way, he is not born again.
Now, don't take the last words and say whatever way I live, he is not born again. Doesn't matter what way I live, I know. I have understood verses 20, 21, 22, 23. I have understood the chapter 13 from 1 to 23. So I know now. No, that is not what he is saying. What will be the distinct trait of a person who knows?
He will be disattached.
Detached. Then I know that fire will burn me. Will I touch fire? I know fire burns me and I am not going to hold a hot glass. It means I don't. When you have wisdom, means action follows immediately. This is why in the 11th verse of chapter 2, when Arjuna was, in the beginning Arjuna was talking too much, when Krishna started giving the Gita in the 11th verse, he says, you think to speak words of wisdom, but there is nothing wisdom in your action.
Wise people do not grieve for those who are dead and gone, yet you are grieving for those who do not deserve to be grieved for.
But you are speaking words of wisdom. When you are climbing a mountain, if you have reached the cliff and you know that you have reached the cliff, will you take one more step? So action immediately follows knowledge. So he says, ya eva veti purusham, prakritim cha gunai saha. So one, when one knows, whoever, ya means whoever, you can be a woman, you can be a man, you can be brahmana, kshatriya, shudra, vaishya, doesn't matter, what way of living you are living. Aastak, you could have left, you could have led a life of shudra. Ara Vaishya, Ara Brahmana, Ara Kshatriya, doesn't matter. But if I know, once I understood, once you have understood, what? What is Purusha Upadrishta? And from Purusha, Prakriti has come, which has lot of guna modifications. And these two put together is the world. Right? Now, I am also like that, she is also like that, everybody is like that. So when I understand this, I will not get identified with Prakriti. Automatically. Therefore, once I don't identify with that Prakriti, I have no individuality. No ego, no doership. I remain a non-doer. And the non-doer, whatever action he may do, it has no consequence. Physical consequences will be there, but emotional impressions it doesn't gather.
Which is in the form of punya?
Pap. Which is in the form of akrishta palam. The clear. When I do an action as a doer, then I collect the impressions of good and bad. Now, therefore, If I come to this Gita class, with worship I conduct the Gita class, the fact that I am in this class, I am making everybody understand. So the doership is there, therefore, though it is a good action, but I is functioning, doership is there, I gather punya. This punya will make me take birth again and again, till I exhaust my punya, till I exhaust my impressions. With me. But if I do an action apparently which is negative, like for example, on the battlefield, Arjuna is asked to kill. So an action of killing. But I do it with no rules. Like a handman. Handman has no personal motive to kill anybody else. Just doing his duty. So when I do an action with no rules here, then will I incur sin? Will I incur punya? Which is name. So therefore, what way of life I lead doesn't matter. Whether I lead the way of life of a samsari or a brahmachari. See, a lot of people go through confusion, you know. In the academy, for example, those people who are married and settled in the academy, they don't work in the ashram. So they don't go for children. Some people who are outside, they go for children. Some people remain without marriage also, in the ashram or outside. So now some people are studying, but some people are remaining without marriage, some people get married, but no children, but some people have children. So listen, then you have to decide what is that you want to do in life. Like if you want to stay in the ashram, then obviously you cannot have child and then that becomes another samsara. So you, there is no taboo to get married or remain single or you get married and have children, whatever it is, as long as everything is godly sanctioned. Dharma. Okay. Now the point is, just because you live in the ashram and do not have a child, in itself doesn't mean it is great. Just because you remain outside and have a child doesn't mean in itself it is great or not great. Are you functioning as a non-doer? As are you functioning as a Veti Purusha? Veti Purusha means one who knows. Are you a Vedantin? Veda means knowledge. Vedantin means one who knows the knowledge. Then it doesn't matter what you do in life. You could be a Kshatriya and be on the battlefield and fighting to restore righteousness. In the bargain you may be killing two people. You can even be a butcher, but you are doing it with no ego. So it really doesn't matter what you do, but what matters is how you do it. So that's what he's saying. Yaevam. Yaha is a beautiful word. Yaha means one who, whoever. Yaevam thus. Veti Purusha, Prakriti cha gunai saha. Who understands clearly the distinction between Purusha, Prakriti, and Prakriti having inherent gunas in it. So then what happens when I see some people functioning, I understand gunas are functioning. In contrary, Prakriti Purusha is sitting as Upadrasha of people. But out of ignorance, he is doing all this nagra. So externally when I deal with him, Akaviku is nakra, I deal with him. But internally I have not hit him. There is no resistance. So even after studying all this, if I am sitting and watching him, you know what he did? Supposing I am doing all this, what do I understand?
Nothing.
I do not know. I am only informed. Being informed is different from knowing. That is why when you hear from great masters, from elderly people, from anybody who is wise, who is coming and telling you there is no pitta substance in this world, everything is passing, fleeting, simply you are hearing. And if you stay in an ashram for 3 years or 5 years or 10 years, to go on hearing these words, in itself doesn't mean you got it as well. Because you have been told that there is no pitta substance, you do not know that there is no pitta substance. Knowing there is no physical substance in this world is different from being told. Remember this.
from being told to know, you got to put in the effort.
Reflection.
That whether you stay in the ashram or whether you stay outside, that you have to do it privately in your rooms. Only thing is, in the ashram is a conclusive environment. That is there. And Guru is also there, which is a very good help. So he guides you, etc. etc. The chances of you sleeping is less. And the Guru is there, if you sleep, if you surrender to him, he will help you. He or she. All that way is okay. But otherwise, end of the day, being told to the knower stage will come only if you are ready to go through the pain of studying every day and making your own summary. By reflecting, thinking, then it goes to you. Then the detachment comes. Then now you know. It doesn't matter that they say or they don't say. Tomorrow they may change their mind. No, I have thought it's like this. But Adi, I am thinking there is substance in it. But you know there is no substance. Because now you are understood. You have seen it here. Then what happens? Then whatever way of life you lead, you are now living like Padma Patra Ivam Bhasa. Like a lotus in water. Then the greasy surface, it doesn't get attached. It's called insulation. You know, when the wire is insulated, current is passing, but you don't get electrocuted. Why? Because it is insulated. This knowledge functions as an insulator. It insulates you completely. That is what he is saying. Yeah. Evam veti dosham prakritim chakraisaha sarvata vartamanopi nasa bhuyo vichara. Vartaman. Whatever way it is. It doesn't matter. Though living in whatever way. Though living in whatever way, he is not born again. He is not born again. So it doesn't matter. Now I understood. Studied as a Vedanta student. So whichever way I live, nothing happens. No. Only when you are known means known is equal to knowing is equal to non-doership. Outputs, nothing is knowing. You can know the verses by heart, memorize, upshatter. See, when we are studying in the ashram, we used to have chanting practice sessions, you know. Whoever wants to go and learn the thing and learn, all in there. I used to go. I liked it, I used to go. So I learned it. And some of the verses going on practicing. I mean, members who get. So what's the big deal? President chant came in, she comes for the thing. So this is not much. It's just the practice. It's not also for it. So it comes automatically. But that is not knowing. Real knowing is what? The ability to be a sakshi. The ability to be a non-doer. This is knowing. That is Vedanta. How to know Vedanta? That objectivity is Vedanta. Please understand. There are a lot of people getting more unnecessarily into Sanskrit. And then we're going to Sanskrit. So Sanskrit if you learn is good. Don't you? I'm not ridiculing it. If you have inclination, go deeper, learn, that's all okay. Inclination and time. But that in itself doesn't matter. And Swami Ramtirtha went to United States and lectured and he, you know, enlightened the audience there. The audience accepted his knowledge. He became famous there. He said, a country which is just 200 years old, which is accepted knowledge, I could enlighten them. So then, what about my countrymen? No big deal. So he thought he should start his thing from India. In India, in some Kashi. And Kashi is the base for Sanskrit. You know, so he came to Kashi and he started lecturing. A lot of people were listening to him. And one more asked, do you know Sanskrit? So he said, I know very little. You know very little of Sanskrit? And you are lecturing on Veda? That means you don't know anything and you walked away. Then everybody walked away. So he said, Veda knowledge which belongs to my country, my countrymen are not accepting it simply because of the language. Whereas a country like America, they have no problem. Sometimes you know we have a lot of baggage. Purusha, what is Prakriti, what is the difference? And then you have separated Purusha from Prakriti. Once knowing, you will only be identified with Purusha. Thereafter, all the imaginations that you started gone. You take an example now, I told you. Fellow who imagines that he is seeing a snake. Then all the powers, the moment I understand now what I am seeing is wrong. Tell what? Sleeplessness gone. Huh? Hunger has come back. He's able to sleep well. Hunger has come back. And sweating is gone. Isn't it? Heart palpitation is reduced. Some come over. Come nahi. Bilkul nahi. Ek sara kaisa hua? Started seeing low pressure. Samsar is not there. So your samsara, though it seems so beginningless, endless, going on for years together with so much of tradition, will that actually started just with your knowledge. It's a beautiful portion of this. 13th chapter. So subtle. So, evam veti purusham. Then sarvata artamana bhi. Sarvata in all ways. Artamana means living in whatever ways. Ati, even then, he does not take birth again. Why doesn't take birth again? Because he doesn't create any impressions. When the impressions are there, it again repeats. Remember, we studied the chronology of action. What is the chronology of action? From vasana comes thought. From thought comes desire. From desire comes action. And from action again comes vasana. The loop is complete. Now, if I can do an action without being an actor, then the action doesn't produce vasana. The loop is broken. Then there is no punarati jananam. Otherwise, like Adi Shankara says in Bhagavad Gita, punarati jananam. Punarati maranam, punarati janani jatare shayanam, iha samsare bahudustare, kripaya pare pahi murare, bhajadurindam, govindam bhajadurate, samprapte sam nihite kale nahi nahi rakshati rutrim karani. All it says is punarati janam, punarati janam, this samsara continues till you wake up. When you are in a dream, if I ask you, how old are you? 45, 50, 55, 60.60 years, 60 years, come on, I'm not 60 years. And then you say, see, this is the cup I achieved when I was in junior level. This is your junior, it's written that name. This is when I was in junior level. Or, I still think you are still 3 seconds old. You would say, mad guy, he's so adamant, he's not accepting. Now, when you wake up,
from the dream. He knows that dream was just 3 seconds ago. Because he just slept around 10 o'clock, and then 3 seconds more. They are already 60 years old. When you are 60 years old person in the dream, how much ever I tell you, when you wake up, you understand the so-called beginningless world never began only.
From the world point of view, it appears beginningless. But when you wake up, you understand that it never began.
That is only when you wake up. Now you don't go about saying nothing is there. Then you feel troubled. Anyway, I was an illusion. I don't want to work. Then don't ask what is for breakfast. Few breakfast late or that. Few breakfast late over means puja is still there. So puja better to work. Lakshmanarayan is still there. Lakshmanarayan better to work. Are you with me? Within the samsara, there is cause and effect. So in this whole verse, what is the most important word?
Wait.
So therefore don't worry, or like that, doesn't matter. You wake up, thereafter whichever way you live, since the vasanas are exhausted, there is no more.
We'll chant verse 25 and 26 together. Dhyane nātmani pashyanti, dhyane nātmani pashyanti, ke chidātmānam ātmanā, ke chidātmānam ātmanā, anye sāṅkhena yogena, anye sāṅkhena yogena, karma yogena chāpare, karma yogena chāpare, dhyane nātmani pashyanti, ke chidātmānam ātmanā, anye sāṅkhena yogena, karma yogena chāpare, अन्ये त्वेवम जानन्तः अन्ये त्वेवम जानन्तः श्रुत्वान् एभ्य उपासते श्रुत्वान् एभ्य उपासते तेऽपि चाति तरन्त्येव तेऽपि चाति तरन्त्येव मृत्युं श्रुतिपरायणाः मृत्युं श्रुतिपरायणाः अन्ये त्वेवम जानन्तः श्रुत्वान् एभ्य उपासते तेऽपि चाति तरन्त्येव मृत्युं श्रुतिपरायणाः ध्यानेन आत्मनि पश्यन्ति केचिद् आत्मनात्मना सम बाय मेडिटेशन बिहोल्ड द सेल्फ थ्रू ध्यान योगा सम पीपल थ्रू ध्यान योगा मेडिटेशन बिहोल्ड द सेल्फ वेयर डू दे बिहोल्ड द सेल्फ इन द सेल्फ बाय द सेल्फ बाय देयर ओन एफर्ट दे फाइंड इट विद इन देम सेल्फ दे डोंट फाइंड द सेल्फ विद इन विदाउट इन द मदर इन लॉ They find it within themselves. So some by meditation behold the self, in the self, by the self, and anye, others, by Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya Yoga means Jnana Yoga. So the second chapter is called Sankhya Yoga. Jnana Yoga. A sequential analysis coming to a logical conclusion. It's called Sankhya. So others by Sankhya Yoga, Yoga of knowledge, and others by Karma Yoga, Yoga of action. And yet others, not knowing that, worship the Supreme, having heard from others, with just faith. Bhakti, he is referring to Bhakti. And they too cross beyond death, taking refuge in whatever they have heard. In short, what is saying is, through Karma Yoga, some people get there. Some people get there through Bhakti Yoga. Some people get there through Jnana Yoga. Some people get there through Dhyana Yoga. Now, when he says this, it is not that all these parts are separate parts. But you have a physical body, you have a mind, you have an intellect. All that Vedanta is saying is, your original self is Supreme Paramatma. You are divine. But your mind is today extrovertedly looking in the world out of ignorance. As long as you are looking in the external world out of ignorance, you are not going to sight Atma at all. So the mind needs to be turned introvert. Are you with me? Now when you are driving the car and you have to take a U-turn, how you take the U-turn? You take immediately like this? The speed at which you are going, the lane at which you are in, according to that when you take a U-turn, there is an arc. Isn't it? Not just like that, take a U-turn. Are you with me? There is an arc. Similarly, wherever your level is today, how extroverted are you in the world? Accordingly, you might need to do more of karma. Little bit introversion is there in you, to the extent jnana. And to a very little extent, maybe jnana. But, strictly speaking, when you are extroverted, more of karma and bhakti and jnana, which will give you a mental detachment, upadati. Through that, you can go to dharana and jnana and samadhi. So some people are in the beginning stage, they are doing karma, bhakti, jnana. Some people have gone little higher, they are in mental withdrawn state, upadati. Some people are in dharana stage, concentration. They are all the time concentrating on the higher aspects of the world. Some people are in the dhyana stage, they are able to sit down and meditate single-pointedly. But the path is what? You see in the book, Swamiji's book, given this diagram. This diagram is three paths, karma, bhakti, jnana. Now, to the extent you are active, you need to do karma. To the extent you are emotional, you need to do bhakti. To the extent you are intellectual, you do jnana. But all three are needed. Right? So like I always say, supposing we have three or four sessions a day and every day, many of you may not be able to come. Because your mind still is in the world outside, it's still needing action. Ye kanta, de kanta in a week is enough. Maybe de kanta, some of you are following everyday study. That much of introversion is there. But there is a lot of extroversion, you still need your other things. In many of us, it's not just that we are participating in the get-togethers because of obligation. Some of us, we need the get-togethers also. Our mind is in that level. It's not wrong. We need to slowly go to the level of the mind and take it out. If you forcefully do it, you are in trouble. Please understand. Ultimately, the mind needs to be turned inward. But you have to go to the level of the mind and do it. Not forcefully do it. When you may be here, not there. In fact, you become a suppressed, repressed individual. Therefore, first you do karma, bhakti, jnana, according to your purpose. That's the first what you have to do, to analyze your personality. When you analyze your personality, you understand this much of action I need to do. This much of emotion is there. To that much I direct it to an idol, to a prayer, to a ritual. You know? All that, or singing, chanting, whatever. Then, to this much I need, the requirement is there to sit and analyze or discuss. I have that requirement. I'm not enough. It's just simply, you know, some people are okay, they just sit and pray. But no, I need to discuss, yeah, what is currency, prakriti, purusha, meribhoye, difference, pata hona chahiye. So you have a little intellectual type of questioning that. Now you need that also. Are you ready? So, karma, bhakti, jnana. All three together when you do, your mind over a period of time comes to a little evolved state. It's grown out of the attachment to the world. That state is called upa rati. Rati means enjoying within. Upa means near, within. Within enjoy. Meaning, there is no pressure in you to be in a party. In a wedding. The wedding is called, wedding card is not come to our house. Yes, you understand? Now, the wedding card has come, no pressure today. That is Uparati. Why? You are not sitting outside. You are not enjoying, you are not dependent on the outside factors or enjoyment. You are reveling within. That state will come. If you follow karma, bhakti, jnana sincerely according to your capacity and nature. Then your mind is reveling within. It is thinking about the higher aspects only. So you are able to concentrate on the higher things more. The concentration on the supreme becomes broader. then there is only I or nothing else you are really interested in. That comes in even further. Then you are able to sit down and meditate with no disturbance. And then, in other words, thoughts are becoming more and more single-pointed. And so jhana, finally what happens? You dissolve the thoughts completely. You dissolve the thoughts completely. You become, you merge with the total, supreme. Atma. You become Atma. So he says, some through meditation. Some by meditation, we hold the self by the self. Others by Sankhya Yoga. Some by Karma Yoga. Some by Bhakti. Surrender. Implicit surrender and faith.
But everyone will have to pass through all these stages to eventually reach.
So now when you see somebody who is in meditation already, they have also gone there. So you have to understand that you have to crawl before you can walk. Straight away don't try to walk. Okay, nowadays the problem is, even before crawling, we are not thinking of walking, we are thinking of running.
Yeah.
They say, you know, in fact, the gentleman who is the Ranji Trophy selector here for Delhi team, for his my class, he was an ex-cricketer also. He tells me, sir, he runs a coaching center in Rajouri Garden. He has a cricket ground and is teaching children to play cricket. He says, parents bring their children at the age of 6, 7 and say, so Tendulkar bana.
Tendulkar
bana. He says, Baba, have you brought him? First of all, I don't know whether he is interested in cricket, but you see, you know, why are you you're thinking to run before you can crawl? That's right. Let's control.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.